Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
The clock is counting down, please tell me what you're gonna do. Just being a witness, giving attention to the truth. They conspire to hide the identity from you. Many are offended, we exposing how they do you.
They don't love us as a whole, they don't love us. It's a small remnant of them that got some love for us. Love not in emotion, it's defined by the word. Read 1 Corinthians 13, then observe. Love always rejoice when justice is won. Cops killing Hebrews, there been no justice from one. If your soul don't ache, then you're faking the fun. All that love is undone, see they thought that we was done.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Tell me where your conscience go when you came to this land. Ship look like a bunch of sardines sitting in the can. Some say that they African, others say American. Or they slap them both together, look at how we join the hands. This one for my ancestors under the attack. Picking cotton in the sun, long hours breaking sweats. Fly to me with Section 8, dump me in them projects. Imagine that, they just trying to keep the yoke up on our neck. But you found out you a brute, not another project. Why we curse? Cause our fathers tweaked and broke the contract. Let's reverse all these curses and continue being blessed. Kumbaya, hear ya, how we come by ya, I'm no longer distressed.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. Just wanted to, first and foremost, give all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. Hope everybody, you know, had a blessed day. Hope everybody have a blessed week. Hope everybody's doing good. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for calling in. Those who are listening on the call-in and those that are listening through the computer, just want to thank everybody for calling in today. Got a couple of announcements I'm going to go through. The first thing is, don't forget about our brew out there we're throwing in Cincinnati, Ohio, February the 22nd through the 24th. Should be real great event, real great things. A lot of people should be coming from all over the country so we can build together, you know what I mean, get that bond together, get that brotherhood, that sisterhood together. Should be a great event. It'll be that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, of course, we'll have many things going on. You know, we'll have, you know, of course, teaching the scriptures on a Sabbath day. Many events will be going on. We'll be having a time on Sunday for the market day. We'll also have a fashion show, Hebrew fashion show, with a lot of our, you know, different things that we wear as Hebrews, getting back to our culture, making our culture not only a righteous thing, but making our culture a thing that those who don't know who we are will actually want to emulate. We want our people to emulate something that's righteous and not always emulating the ways of the world. So we're actually, you know, just trying to change the culture, you know what I mean? One Hebrew at a time, one person at a time, and we're just coming together in a collective. So definitely that's going to be a great event. Come on out, everybody, make it out if you can make it. Also, you know, if you want to connect with us, you know, in any way, you know, we have a congregation in Cincinnati, Ohio. We have a congregation in Louisville, Kentucky, also in Fort Worth, Texas. Also, we're connected with other brothers and sisters. We're not just limited to, you know, just us. We're connected with brothers in Detroit. If you're in Detroit, you know, we have brothers there. Just reach out to us. We have, so definitely just reach out to us. A lot of y'all are on Facebook, on Instagram. We have a page for our ministry, Israel Now with two W's. On Facebook, Israel Now with two W's. So definitely just reach out to us in any one of those cities. And even if you're not in those cities, you know, reach out to us for sound doctrine, sound teaching. That's what we endeavor to do, to bring the truth to our people that the Almighty has raised us up in these last days to do. Back to the Brew Out. You know, we're having IREP ENT, which is that's what Israel Now, Ty Serves company. Also a brother in Atlanta, Mayan Culture. A lot of y'all may know both of those brothers from their music. They both put out great, great, righteous truth music, Yah music, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever name you have for it. So them two brothers and their companies will be hooking up together, and everybody that comes along with them, all the Tassel Gang in Cincinnati will be there. So we're going to definitely have a great event. And so today I'm going to talk about I'm going to deal with, especially since, you know, it's going to be turning on the Gentiles calendar, 2019. And so we've been having a lot of buzz about this 2019 year. So I'm not going to go into the whole part of, you know, are we going home in 2019? Because some people are saying that and things like that. We don't know when the Almighty is going to take all of Israel home. Because truly, when all of Israel goes home and all of Israel is scattered, that's been scattered to the four corners of the earth, when the Almighty takes us back home, it's upon the second coming of Yahweh Shah, the Messiah. And upon the second coming of the Messiah had already let us know, no man knows the day nor time. Only the Father knows. So, no, I don't get into that type of thing. I do know that, you know, different Israelites will go home in waves according to the scripture, different times. But the ultimate going home is the second coming of the Messiah. But I am going to touch on this 400-year prophecy that the Almighty has given to our ancestor Abram at the time, whose name was changed to Abraham. I'm going to touch on that prophecy, and using scriptures, I will show and prove that that prophecy was indeed talking about, you know, us right now, being in, you know, scattered to this North American land. That prophecy was not talking about our ancestors going into the land of Egypt. And after we come back from this next song, we'll get right into the scriptures and we'll show and prove just that.
Run, run and never got me nowhere. Not hide from you. Running and running never got me nowhere.
Some of the music that you will hear, some music like that from those artists, which was Tassel Gang doing our Brew Out. So definitely make it. It's going to be a great time. So at this time, we're just going to go ahead and get into the scriptures for today and or for tonight. And it is, we'll be dealing with the 400-year prophecy. 400-year prophecy that the Most High gave to Abram is America and not Egypt. All right, so first and foremost, let's think back. For those that don't know, let's go into a little bit of Israelite history. Let's go into our major captivities that we had in the past. All right, because the Almighty told Abraham, your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They're going to afflict us, and they will serve, and we will serve that nation for 400 years. All right, so 400 years. So our ancestors went into Egypt, okay? Egyptian was a captivity, and that's the one we're going to deal with because some people think it may be the Egyptian captivity. So we're going to come back to that one. The next captivity was Assyria. The 10 tribes, which was the northern kingdom, went into the Assyrian captivity in 722 BC and never returned home to the land of Israel. All right, so they've been scattered about for much, much longer than 400 years. They didn't get scattered, you know what I mean? And so it wouldn't fit that captivity. The next one was Babylon, the Babylonian captivity, which in the scriptures, the Almighty let us know that that was going to be 70 years. They did 70 years in Babylon, went back home. The next after Babylon was the Medo-Persian. That was not 400 years, all right? They went back during the time of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, okay? That was right after Babylon. The next two are the Greek and Roman occupation, all right? Those couldn't fit the bill either because what the Almighty told Abraham, pretty much you're going to be in another land. Your descendants will not be in their homeland. They'll be in another land, you know, that it's not there. So occupation is dealing with when we are being ruled in our own land, which happened, the Greeks ruled us in our own land as well as the Romans ruled us in our own land. All right, so now what do we have after that? After that, 70 AD happens and we have the children of Israel scattered. You know what I mean? And the children of Judah scattered to the four corners of the earth. All right, so that don't let nobody tell you that Judah is only in America. Judah is not only in America. The same slave ships that brought us to America took us to Cuba, South America, Jamaica, you know, Haiti, Brazil. And guess what? Most of the slaves went to Brazil, not North America. You know, I don't deny that, you know, some of Judah is in America, but just to say Judah is in America only, the scriptures don't say that. The book of Isaiah, chapter 11, around 11 and 12 verse, it clearly says that Judah will be taken home from the four corners of the earth. All right. And this is the last day prophecy around the coming of the Messiah. This is where he's going to bring the tribe of Judah, you know, home from, a.k.a. the southern kingdom, home from the four corners of the earth, not just one place. All right, so we got them captivities out the way. So now we need to focus on that last one, which Daniel prophesied and the book of John, not the book of John, but John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, actually picked it up from where Daniel left off. And the book of Daniel, as well as the book of Revelation, is talking about another kingdom, that fourth kingdom, okay, which was the Roman Empire. It's still going on right now in the day, all right? Still going on right now in the day, that Roman Empire, all right? That's the fourth kingdom that is supposed to rule the earth, the Roman Empire and that last kingdom. So with that being said, we know that Israel was scattered to all these different places, and we scattered here, and we know that our ancestors have been here for 400 years. Now, some will say, well, the first ones came in 1500. Some books say 1600s and different things like that. So we don't know when the Almighty started the exact count, and we don't know, because if we knew that and we knew exactly 400 years we're going back home, we would know when the Messiah was coming back. So we don't know when the Almighty started the exact count. Did he start when the very first person stepped foot over here? Did he start when enough of them got over here and things like that? All right, but with that being said, let me go to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. And let's just read this verse. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. So, just reading the 13th and the 14th verse, we can clearly see that the Almighty told Abram, know of a surety that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. So again, it has to be something outside of the land of Israel. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So we're going to serve these people, and they're going to afflict us for how long? For 400 years. So what I'm going to show in this lesson is that we were not afflicted by the Egyptians for 400 years. The prophecy clearly says they shall be afflicted for 400 years, right? We were not afflicted by the Egyptians for 400 years. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 37. Verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." All right, so we see in the second verse that Joseph was how old? He was 17 years old. Joseph was 17 years old. All right, now let's drop down to the 28th verse. And it says, "And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes." So what happened here, just to get right to the point, actually, let me back up to the 28th verse. It says, "Then there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Okay, this is when Joseph went into Egypt. All right, when he was how old? He was 17 years old when he went into Egypt. So Joseph was 17 years old when he went into Egypt. Now let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. And you'll need to remember that Joseph was 17 years old when he went into Egypt. Don't worry about it. I'll remind you when the time is right. All right, Joshua chapter 10 and the 13th verse, what we're going to read. And it says, "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day." So Joshua is writing, and he says, look, the sun stood still about a whole day. Then he says, what? Is this not written in the book of Jasher? Obviously acknowledging that our people read the book of Jasher and went by the book of Jasher. So what we as true Israelites do not do, because according to the book of Psalms 147, verse 19, the Almighty said, "My word have I given to Israel, my statutes and judgments have I given to Jacob. I have not dealt so with any other people." So what we do not do is look to another people. We do not look to the Romans or the Roman Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or the Episcopalians. We don't look to the Chinese. We don't look to the Japanese. We don't look to any other race of people to tell us what scriptures are valid that we should go by and what scriptures we should not, when the Almighty gave his word unto Jacob. And we could prove throughout the word that our ancestors read other books that the Europeans did not put in our canon. All right, so we are not Christian Israelites. We are not Roman Catholic Israelites. We recognize that our ancestors went by these other books, and these other books are valid no matter what the Roman Catholic Church says. And if you only go by those 66 books plus the Apocrypha, you're following, guess who? The Roman Catholic Church, because they're the ones that said that. All right, we got canons all over the world. The Ethiopian canon of books is much older than the Catholic canon of books. And they have other books within there, like the Book of Jubilees and things like that. All right. And we also know that some of these books were even written by some of the same prophets or priests that we read about in the scriptures. Okay. So just a quick thing on that. So with that being said, I'm going to go to the book of Jasher, chapter 58, and I'm going to read the very first verse. All right. Jasher, chapter 58, the same Jasher that Joshua was talking about. Joshua, the leader of the people after Moses, was quoting from the book of Joshua, the same one I'm about to quote from. And he says in the first verse, Joshua chapter 58 and verse 1, and it came to pass in the 32nd year of the Israelites going down to Egypt, that is in the 71st year of the life of Joseph, in that year died Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Migron, his son, reigned in his stead. All right, so let's stop and think for a minute. We know from the scriptures that what? How many years did our people spend in Egypt? Our people were in Egypt for, and we'll read it later, for 430 years. The scripture says we dwelt in Egypt for 430 years. It didn't say we were afflicted in Egypt for 430 years. It didn't say we were serving them for 430 years. All the scripture says is that we dwelt in Egypt for 430 years. What I will show and prove that the whole time we were in Egypt, we were not captive to the Egyptians. The whole time that we were in Egypt, we were not slaves or serving the Egyptians. The whole time we were in Egypt, the Egyptians were not afflicting us. Okay? So if we look at this first verse again, it says, and it came to pass in the 32nd year of the Israelites going down into Egypt. Well, first of all, that's important right there. Why? Because if we dwelt in Egypt for a total of 430 years, that would mean in order for the prophecy that the Almighty told Abraham, your descendants will be in a land that is not theirs, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. That means we would only had 30 years of peace, and after the 30 years of peace, we would have been afflicted for the remainder of the 400 years since we were in Egypt for a total of 430 years. But it says right here that, and it came to pass in the 32nd year of the Israelites going down into Egypt. That is in the 71st year of the life of Joseph. So Joseph was 71 at this time. All right. Joseph is 71, and our people have been in Egypt for how long? 32 years so far. Why is that important? It's vitally important. All right. Why? Let's go to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. Because what we're about to find out is Genesis 50 and verse 26. Scriptures is going to let us know we were not afflicted until something happened. Then it's going to get more specific a little later. All right, so I'm at Genesis 50, and I'm going to read verse 26. It says, so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. All right, so Joseph died at how old? 110 years old. But we see from Joshua 58, first of all, we find out that Joseph was 17 when he went into Egypt. All right. We know that his brothers came up later into Egypt, all right? So when did his brothers come up? Well, it says in Joshua 58 that it came to pass in the 32nd year of the Israelites, not just Egypt, the 32nd year of the Israelites going down into Egypt. And Joseph was how old? 71 years old, all right? So that means what? That the Israelites came into Egypt when Joseph was 39. That's when all the rest of his brothers and them came, when he was 39. All right. And by the 32nd year, them being in Egypt, Joseph was now 71. But Joseph lived to be 110. All right. So let's make this connection. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 11. So Joseph is 71 years old, remember that. And by the time he is 71 years old, our ancestors, the Israelites, has been in Egypt for how long? 32 years. We've been in Egypt for 32 years, and Joseph is 71 years old. Now watch this. Exodus 1, starting at verse 1. Give me a second. All right, Exodus 1 and 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. Verse 6, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. All right, so they all came into Egypt. This is all a process of time. All right, so he died, his generation, and all his generation died. Now, in verse 6, when it says Joseph died, when did Joseph die? The verse previously already let us know that he died at how old? 110 years old, right? But when he was 71, all of them has already been in Egypt for 32 years. So when he died at 110 years old, they was in Egypt for, what, already 32 years, and then, you know, all the way up until he was 110. Now, that's way longer than 30 years. Now, let's see if any affliction happened. Let's pick up in verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that there, when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them out of the land. Verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to what afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Puthman and Ramses, or Putham and Ramses. All right, so as we go back and we examine what's happening and we examine what's being said, we find out from the context of the scripture, if we go back to verse 6, it says, and Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. That what? Verse 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. All right, and as we drop down, what does it say? They started to be afflicted, but we did not start to be afflicted until when? After Joseph died. Now, that's the important thing that I need to bring out there. We did not start to be afflicted until when? After Joseph died and all his brethren died. But we know that Joseph died at how old? 110 years old, right? So if Joseph died at 110, and we also know that by the time he was 71, the children of Israel was already in Egypt for a total of 32 years, right? So if we're already in Egypt for a total of 32 years, so we were living that whole time peacefully, all the way up until Joseph being 110 years old, right? We still wasn't afflicted until after Joseph died. But when we're looking at Genesis, it makes it seem immediately after Joseph died. Jasper gives it, you know, a little more context and things like that. But we know that we wasn't afflicted until after Joseph died at 110 years old. All right, so all we need to do is let's go back to Jasper 58 and let's continue to read down, and we're going to get some context. All right, so back to Jasper 58. I left off at verse 1. I'm going to now pick up at verse number, I'm going to just pick up at verse 2, and I'm going to read on down. Everybody needs to see this context, all right? So Jasper 58, starting at verse 2, it says, and Pharaoh commanded Joseph before his death to be a father to his son, Magron, and that Magron should be under the care of Joseph and under his counsel. And all Egypt consented to this thing, that Joseph should be king over them. For all the Egyptians loved Joseph as of heretofore. Only Magron, the son of Pharaoh, sat upon his father's throne, and he became king in those days, and his father's stead. Verse 4. Magron was 41 years old when he began to reign. 40 years he reigned in Egypt, and all Egypt called his name Pharaoh, after the name of his father, as it was their custom to do in Egypt to every king that reigned over them. Verse 5, And it came to pass when Pharaoh reigned in his stead, or in his father's stead, he placed the laws of Egypt and all the affairs of government in the hand of Joseph, as his father had commanded him. And Joseph became king over Egypt, for he superintended over all Egypt. And all Egypt was under under his care and under his counsel. For all Egypt inclined to Joseph after the death of Pharaoh, and they loved him exceedingly to reign over them. But there were some people against them who did not like him, saying, "No stranger shall reign over us." Still, the whole government of Egypt developed in those days upon Joseph. After the death of Pharaoh, he being a regulator, doing as he liked throughout the land without anyone interfering. Verse number 8, and all Egypt was under the care of Joseph, and Joseph made war with all the surrounding enemies, and he subdued them. Also, all the land of the Philistines until the borders of Canaan did Joseph subdue. They were under all the power, and they gave a yearly tax unto Joseph. Verse 9, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, sat upon the throne, and his father stayed. But he was under the control and counsel of Joseph, as he was at first under the control of his father. Neither did he reign but in the land of Egypt only, under the counsel of Joseph. But Joseph reigned over the whole country at that time, and Egypt unto the great river Parath. And Joseph was successful in all his ways, and Yahweh was with him. And Yahweh gave Joseph additional wisdom and honor and glory and love towards him and the hearts of the Egyptians and throughout the land. And Joseph reigned over the whole country 40 years. And all the country of the Philistines and Canaan and Sidon and on the other side of Jordan brought presents unto Joseph all his days. And the whole country was in the hand of Joseph. And they brought unto him a yearly tribute as it was regulated. For Joseph had fought against all the surrounding enemies and subdued them. And the whole country was in the hand of Joseph. And Joseph sat securely upon the throne of Egypt. All right, verse 13. And also all his brethren, the sons of Jacob, dwelt securely in the land all the days of Joseph. And they were fruitful and multiplied exceedingly in the land. And they served Yahweh all the days as their father Jacob had commanded them. So we can see what we're reading so far, that the children of Israel is in the land of Egypt, but we're all are dwelling securely. All right, we're not being afflicted at this time. You know, everything is going good. Everything is going fine. And remember the context in verse 1, the children of Israel, when we go back to verse 1, we was in the land for 32 years. And now as we read down, we see that Joseph, an additional after them 32 years, Joseph is now ruling Egypt for additional 40 years. And we're still dwelling securely in the land of Egypt. All right, so this in and of itself, we're going to go a lot farther and show many more years of us dwelling securely in the land of Egypt. But this in and of itself, this 32 years plus the 40 years that we just read that Israel is dwelling securely in Egypt, this totally knocks out the possibility that this prophecy the Most High gave to Abraham can be talking about Egypt, because the Most High said 400 years, right? We will be afflicted. But we read in the scriptures that we dwelt in Egypt for a total of 430 years. Well, I just showed 72 years of us living in Egypt, dwelling securely with no affliction. So if we're there for a total of 430 years, and we can read that we dwelt securely with no affliction for 72 years, well, you minus that off the 430, you know, and that's not 400 years. All right, that's significantly less than 400 years. Which is how we know it's not talking about Egypt, because we were not afflicted in Egypt for 430 years. All right, but let's keep going. So I'm going to pick up at the 16th verse. No, I think I left off at the. I'm just going to the 14th verse. All right, so it says, and it came to pass at the end of many days and years, when the children of Esau were dwelling quietly in their land with Bela their king, and the children of Esau were fruitful and multiplied in the land, and they reserved to go and fight with the sons of Jacob and all Egypt to deliver their brother Zippor, the son of Eliphaz, and his men, for they were yet in those days slaves to Joseph. All right, you see what that says. Verse 15, and the children of Esau sent unto the children of the east, and they made peace with them. And all the children of the east came unto to go with the children of Esau to Egypt to battle. Verse 16, and there came unto them of the people of Agis, king of Deboah, and they also sent unto the children of Ishmael, and they also came unto them. And all the people gathered and came to Seir to assist the children of Esau in their battle. And the camp was very large and heavy with people, numerous as the sand of the sea, about 800,000 men, infantry and cavalry. And all these troops went down to Egypt to fight with the sons of Jacob, and they encamped by Ramesses. And Joseph went forth with his brethren and the mighty men of Egypt, about 600 men, and they fought with them in the land of Ramesses. And the sons of Jacob at that time again fought with the children of Esau. And the 15th year of the sons of Jacob going down into Egypt, or sorry, in the 50th year, not the 15th, but in the, wait a minute, let me go back. In the 15th year of the sons of Jacob going down into Egypt, that is the 13th year of the reign of Bela over the children of Esau. And Yahweh gave all the mighty men of Esau and the children of the east unto the hand of Joseph and the brother and his brethren, and the people of the children of Esau and the children of the east were smitten before Joseph. All right, so we see what happened there. All right, so let's drop down. Actually, I'm going to just drop down to the last couple of verses, verse 29. It says, and it came to pass after this, at the end of 10 years, Jobab, the son of Zerach from Bezra, died, and the children of Esau took a man whose name was Cushan from the land of Teman, and they made him king over them instead of Jobab. And Cushan reigned in Edom all over all the children of Esau for 20 years. And Joseph, king of Egypt, and his brethren, and all the children of Israel, dwelt securely in Egypt in those days, together with the children of Joseph and his brethren, having no hindrance of evil accident in the land of Egypt, was at the time at rest from war in the days of Joseph and his brethren. So we see that it was in the days of rest from Joseph and his brethren. All right, so let's go to the 59th chapter of the book of Jasher, because this Jasher, it gives a lot of history. You know that sometimes when we read in Genesis, we can't tell how far along the next thing was, but Jasher kind of maps it out, because throughout these chapters, 58, 59, 60, 61, all the way to 63, and throughout these chapters, it gives you a timeline throughout the book of Jasher. It tells you how many years we was in Egypt when this happened, how many years we was in Egypt when that happened. You know what I mean? So that's a great thing. All right, so let's go to Jasher chapter 59. We're just going to read verse 25 through 28. So Jasher chapter 59, verse 25 through 28. Look what it says. It says, and it came to pass after that Joseph died in that year, the 71st year of the Israelites going down to Egypt. All right, 71st year of the Israelites going down into Egypt. Remember, the whole time Joseph and his brothers was alive, we were dwelling safe and secure in Egypt. So it says, it came to pass after Joseph died, the 71st year of the Israelites going down to Egypt. And Joseph was 110 years old when he died in the land of Egypt. Same thing we read in Genesis, right? He was 110 years old when he died. All right, and it was 71 years of Israelites being in Egypt. And all his brethren and all his servants rose up, and they embalmed Joseph, as was their custom. And his brethren and all Egypt mourned over him for 70 days. Verse 27, they put Joseph in a coffin filled with spices and all sorts of perfume, and they buried him by the side of the river, that is, Sahor, and his sons and his brethren and the whole of his father's household made a 7-day mourning for him. All right, verse 28, and it came to pass, after the death of Joseph, all the Egyptians began in those days to rule over the children of Israel, and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who reigned in his father's stead, took of the laws of Egypt and conducted a whole government of Egypt under his council, and he reigned securely over his people. So now Egypt is back in control of the Egyptians once Joseph died. All right. And this was how many years we were in Egypt? It says the 71st year of the Israelites going down into Egypt. Joseph died, and now the Egyptians are starting to take over Egypt now, because Joseph was ruling all of Egypt, and now the Egyptians is going to rule over the children of Israel now. All right, after Joseph died, just as it says in that we read earlier in Exodus and in Genesis, how Joseph died and what age he died. All right, so this is very clear when we just add these numbers up. All right, now let's go to Joshua chapter 63, and it's going to give us some more detail of exactly when they started to rule, and it's going to give us some more detail. All we got to do is just add this up, and it's clearly not 400 years. So Joshua chapter 63, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, and in the 93rd year did Levi, the son of Jacob, in Egypt, in the 93rd year died Levi, the son of Jacob, in Egypt. And Levi was 137 years old when he died. And they put him in a coffin, and he was given into the hands of his children. Okay, so what we're going to see and find out, it wasn't just when Joseph died, as it says in Genesis. It was when in Exodus, it was when Joseph and all his brethren died and all that generation. That's specifically when the Egyptians started to rule over the children of Israel, which you're going to see. So we see that Levi died, and he was 137 years old. All right, and this was what in verse 1? And it was the 93rd year died Levi of the sons of Jacob in Egypt. So the sons of Jacob were in Egypt for 93 years at this time. Now watch this, verse 2. And it came to pass, after the death of Levi, when all the Egyptians saw that the sons of Jacob, the brother of Joseph, were dead, because Levi was the last one to die. All right, Joseph died at 110, but Levi was the last one to die. And once the Egyptians saw that Joseph died, not only Joseph, they took back over rule when Joseph died, right? But the oppression was progressive. Just like in America, we go through different progressions of oppression, right? We had the civil rights era. We had chattel slavery. It's all a different, you know what I mean, levels of oppression. All right, so look at verse 2. And it came to pass after the death of Levi, when all Egypt saw that the sons of Jacob, the brethren of Joseph, were dead, all the Egyptians began to afflict the children of Jacob. This is when they begin to afflict the children of Jacob. When? In the 93rd year of Israelites going down into Egypt. All right, so the 93rd year. So if we were there for a total of 430 years, and we live 93 years with no affliction, that's not 400 years. You take away 93 years, what did that bring you to? Like 328 years. All right, no, it's not 307 years. All right, in the 93rd year. All right, so let's keep reading. Start back in verse 2. And it came to pass after the death of Levi, when the Egyptians saw that the sons of Jacob, the brethren of Joseph, were dead, all the Egyptians began to afflict the children of Jacob and to embitter their lives from that day until the day of their going forth from Egypt. So they started from that day until they came out of Egypt. And when was that day? After they was in Egypt for 93 years. And they took from their hands all the vineyards and the fields which Joseph had given unto them, and all the elegant houses in which the people of Israel lived, and all the fat of Egypt. And the Egyptians took all from the sons of Jacob in those days. Verse 3. And the hand of all Egypt became more grievous in those days against the children of Israel. And the Egyptians injured the Israelites until the children of Israel were wearied of their lives on an account of the Egyptians. Verse 4. And it came to pass in those days, in the 102nd year of Israel's going down in Egypt, that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, died, and Milo, his son, reigned in his stead, and all the mighty men of Egypt, and all that generation which knew Joseph and his brethren died in those days. And another generation rose up in their stead, which had not known the sons of Jacob, and all the good which they had done to them, and all their might in Egypt. Verse 6. Therefore, all Egypt began from that day forth to embitter their lives of the lives of the sons of Jacob, and to afflict them in all manner of hard labor, because they had not known their ancestors who had delivered them in the days of the famine. All right, so this is what happened. So we can see clearly that prophecy cannot be talking about what happened in Egypt, because what happened in Egypt, we lived almost 100 years in Egypt. We were in Egypt for a total of 430 years. We lived 93 years in peace, living good houses, good land. Joseph was ruling. We were living in peace, getting along side by side with the Egyptians, our brother, because the scriptures do call the Egyptians our brother. The Most High called the Egyptians our brother. They're not our brother like one of the other 12 tribes, but they are our brother, right? Because the Most High said it, and I can show you that scripture if I need to. But we were living side by side with the Egyptians for 93 years in peace. So it couldn't be talking about that 400 years. So it must be talking about the only captivity that was 400 years, which is right now in modern day America where we are. All right, so with that being said, I need to go back to the book of Genesis, because I know there's probably some more questions to consider when I read the next two verses. And anybody online, just push number one. I'll get you online when I finish up a couple more verses. All right. So all we're doing is just dealing with the numbers. And the book of Jasher maps it out very plain that it was not 400 years of Israelites going being afflicted in Egypt. But what about this? I know some people may be wondering, well, what about the next two verses? Let's go back to Genesis 15. And I'll read the 15th and 16th verse. It says, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." So, what about that? I know some people may be wondering about that, right? Because there's certain teaching about that, okay? And people want to know, well, what does that have to do with the prophecy of Abraham and this and that? All right, so let me read the whole thing. Let me start at 13 and read down, and let me show you the context. Watch this. It's switching gears, and it's talking about something else, but watch. Verse 13, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. All right? So I think we proved from the book of Jasher, well, I know we proved from the book of Jasher, that Israelites were not afflicted for 400 years in Egypt. Verse 14, "Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." All right? That's talking about where we at in modern day America. 400 year prophecy, because Egypt was not, we were not afflicted for 400 years. Now watch this. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. The Almighty in the 15th verse is now turning back to Abraham and back to Abraham's time. Because look what he says. He says, I'm going to read verse 14 again. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Then he says in verse 15, and thou and you, Abraham, shall go to your fathers in peace. This is not talking about the same time period now. He's just telling Abraham now, look, I'm switching what I'm talking about now. Now I'm switching subjects. He said, now, Abraham, you're going to die. You're going to go to your fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. You're going to be buried in a good old age. Abraham wasn't in the Egyptian captivity. Neither was Abraham in his modern-day American captivity. He's switching gears and talking about something different now. He's done with telling him about the 400-year prophecy. People put these next two verses together like this has something to do with the 400-year prophecy. But it doesn't. Now he's just saying, all right, Abraham, I told you about the prophecy. Now look, you're going to die. You're going to die in a good old age. You're going to go to your fathers in peace. Now look at the 16th verse. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, what does that mean? What is he talking about? He said, you're going to go to your fathers in peace, Abraham. You're going to die in a good old age. Then he said, but in the fourth generation from what? The last thing, back to the context, all right? So what was the context being talked about? But in the fourth generation. The last context he left off at was what? Abraham. And Abraham what? Abraham dying. Right? That's the last context he left off, Abraham dying. Then after he said that, he said, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. Where's the hither? Abraham was in the land of Canaan, also known as the land of Israel. But at that time, it was called the land of Canaan, but the same landmass. All right, so it says, in the fourth generation, they shall come hither or here again. So what is the fourth generation that they're going to come here again? That's what we got to ask ourselves. What is the fourth generation that they are going to come here again? And it's not too hard to add up. So let's find out what a generation is first. A generation doesn't have a number. Some people tell you a generation is 40 years. Some people say a generation is 100 years. A generation does not have a number of years. A generation is defined in Scripture as when a father has a son. So if their father is 20 years old when he has a son, that's a generation. It was 20 years. If their father wasn't, if he didn't have a son until he was 50, that's a generation. When that next one is born is a generation. How do we know that? Let's go to Matthew real quick, Matthew chapter 1. So hold your place. In Genesis 15, I'm going to go right back there. But first, I'm going to prove what a generation is. So when we count these generations, these four generations, then you'll know that we're right on point. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read about the generations of the Messiah, whose true name is Yahawashah. Matthew 1 and 1, it says, the book of the generation of Yahawashah, Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brother. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah and Tamar. And Perez begat Israel. And Israel begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab. And Aminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rachel. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begat Abia. And Abia begat Esau. And Esau begat Josaphat. And Josaphat begat Joram. And Joram begat Ozaz. All right. Hold on. Let me drop down. I'm going to just drop down and get to the point. All right, so if we drop down to verse 17, after we read all these names of who begat who, look what it says. So these are the generations of Abram to David, or 14 generations from David until the carrying away of the Babylon, until Babylon are 14 generations. So it says it's 14 generations from Abraham to David. and 14 generations from David to our ancestors were carried away in Babylon. So all you got to do is count the men's names, and you're going to find that it's 14 men between Abraham and David, because that's 14 generations. And every man didn't have their son at 40 years old. So that proves, again, a generation is only when the next son is born in that line or in that lineage. All right. So with that being said, let's get some understanding and go back to Genesis 15, because when the Almighty told Abram that in the 16th verse, but the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, meaning in the fourth generation, they're going to come back to this land again, the same land that you're at. All right. And again, he was in the land of Canaan. Now, what fourth generation was he talking about? What fourth generation was he talking about? So Abraham was living at that time, right? When the Almighty told him that. Abraham at this time did not have any sons yet. All right. Abraham did not have Isaac yet. All right. So if you start counting, Isaac was one generation, because he left off. The context that he left off was that, Abraham, you're going to die and be buried in the good old age, but in the fourth generation, they're going to come here again. Abraham had Isaac, which is one generation. Isaac had Jacob, which is another generation. Jacob had, let's use Levi. Levi is the third generation. We're using Levi because Levi, according to Jasher, he was the last to die of that generation and all his brothers. And then So let's start over. So you go back to Abraham. All right, Abraham was living. Okay, so we got, So we got Abraham, we got Isaac. All right, so actually what we have to do, Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Okay, so we start back at Abraham, all right? So when we go back to the context, we'll find that Levi had Aram, Aram had Moses, and Moses' children was the generation that came back to the land of Israel again. Now, why do we start at that generation? Because the whole context is the generation where he left off at is Levi had Aram, Aram had Moses, and Moses' children was the fourth generation. And in that fourth generation is when the children of Israel went back to the land of Israel again. Remember, Moses, all that generation died, Moses died, but their children, that next generation, got to go back into the land. And that was the fourth generation. All right, and just looking at the context of Scripture. So when we're looking at Genesis 15, verse 13 and 14, are not talking about the same time period that verse 15 and 16 is talking about. The Almighty is talking about something totally different when you get into the 15th and the 16th verse. But let's finish up the 16th verse before I go to the call line. So the 16th verse, it says, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Well, when you look up Amorite, you'll find that an Amorite is a Canaanite. All right, they're descendants from Canaan. Okay, so what does it mean? For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So it just means the sin of the Amorites, all right, is not yet full, or not yet complete, or not yet punished for what they were supposed to have been punished for. Well, what were they supposed to have been punished for? When we look back at the Amorites, we look back at the Canaanites, because the Amorites are Canaanite people, okay? What happened during that time, in Abraham's time or before, that they were supposed to have been punished? Genesis 9:25, and we're going to finish up. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 25 says, remember what happened with Noah when he got drunk, and he had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. The 25th verse says, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So when that whole thing happened with Noah, Noah got up from being drunk, and he cursed Canaan. Now remember, the Canaanite people, the Amorites, are a Canaanite people. And Noah said, cursed be Canaan, because of what had happened and what Canaan had done. It was Shem and Japheth that walked backwards and covered up their father. right? But Canaan didn't do that. So Noah said, cursed be Canaan. Or sorry, not Canaan didn't do that, but Ham didn't do that, right? But Noah didn't curse Ham. He cursed his son, Canaan. All right, now let's go to Genesis 46 and 26. And look what it says. The last verse, it said, cursed be Canaan, a what? A servant of servants shall he be. What does it mean to be a servant of servants, right? Because that's what the Canaanites and the Amorites are, nothing but a tribe of Canaanites, okay? Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be. That's what was the curse that was put on Canaan, for him to be a what? A servant of servants. Now let's find out what it means to be a servant of servants. Genesis 46 and verse 26 says, and the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of the loins of his loins, besides Jacob's sons, wives, all the souls were 66. All right, so we see who came, all right? It was the sons of Israel that were in Egypt, right? And what happened to the sons of Israel in Egypt? They were what? They were slaves in Egypt, as we've been reading throughout the scriptures, throughout the book of Jasher, right? And after we came out of the land of Egypt, we went into the land of Canaan, and guess what we did to the Canaanites? We subdued them and we made them our slaves. All right, we went to the Canaanites and we made the Canaanites our slaves. All right, so that's what it means to be a servant of servants, shall he be. Meaning, Israel was just slaves to the Egyptians. We came out and we was already servants, and then we made the Canaanites our servants. So the Canaanites were cursed to be a servant of servants. That's all it means. So when we're looking at the context, it's very clear that, number one, right before I go to the call lines, that we were not slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And number two, when we're dealing with the Amorites and we're dealing with that, it's talking about another time period. It's talking about that time period when we came out and went back into the land and we made the Canaanites a servant of servant. All right. I think I got the wrong verse. I'm going to try to find that verse later, and I'll read it later, that actually said that we made the, you know, how we subdued. Most of the listener audience probably know, but I'll try to find it. That was the wrong verse, how we subdued the Canaanites, and we made them our slaves when we went into the land of Israel. Because remember, we were supposed to kill them all, but we didn't kill them all. And so we actually conquered them, and they were our, you know, our servants. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to just go to the callers and go to the call line for the remainder of the show. So, again, anybody else have a question or comment, push number one, and I'll get you on as well. But area code 321, shalom, shalom, you're on the air. Shalom, can you hear me? Shalom, shalom, can you hear me kind of far, a little far away? Hey, sister, do you have me on speakerphone? Because I don't think the listener audience can hear you too well. Can you take me off speaker? Do you have me on speakerphone? Can you hear me? Go ahead. We'll try to hear you. Go ahead. All right, I'm going to try to, can you hear me now? Okay, well, I'm going to try to come back to you. All right, so I'll try to come back to you before the end of the show. I'm not able to hear you right now, so maybe a little technical difficulties, I'm not sure. But all right, so anybody else have a question or comment, you know, push number one, I'll get you on. But basically the whole gist of this was mainly just to, like I said, just show that the oppression, the affliction in Egypt was not 400 years. So therefore, since it was not 400 years according to the scripture, then we must find a captivity in Israel's history that was 400 years, and after the 400 years, we went back home. Of course, we could say the Assyrian captivity was 400 years, but it was a lot more than 400 years. you know, and they never went back home after 400 years. They've been scattered for thousands of years and still have not gone back home. So the prophecy was specific that you're going to do 400 years and then go back home to your land. And the only captivity, this is the last captivity. There was no captivity that was 400 years and then, you know what I mean, going back to the land of Canaan. And so I think that's pretty clear. We just got to get into these scriptures and get into the book of Jasher and just map this whole thing out, you know. And it's just right there to be seen. And what's good about it, like I said before, when you follow up and you read every chapter in context, you know, it's just letting you know what happened each year. But when we read it in Genesis, it's not letting us know the time period. You know what I mean? So that's the difference. We're getting the same story. Joshua is going into more details of that story, though, and also letting us know, you know, in the 70th year, Israel going down into Egypt. When you need, keep reading and talk about the 100th year, the 102nd year, and just walk you all the way up. Now you get a greater context of actually the timeline of all these events and these things happen. So, since we now know that this is the last captivity, we know this is the 400-year prophecy, you know, what are we seeing right now? What are we seeing going on? The Messiah talked about when the fig tree starts to blossom, then you know, right? I'm kind of quoting it off the top of my head, but in that parable, what did the fig tree represent? The fig tree represented us, the children of Israel. And the fig tree is definitely blossoming. You know what I mean? The fig tree is blossoming all over. We got Israel waking up every single day. We waking up all over. You know what I mean? Ezekiel talked about it. You know what I mean? We're going to wake up and can these dry bones live? The bones are going to start to get sinew on them. You know what I mean? They start to come together. They're going to start to look like life again. And that's what I'm seeing among our people. And it's a great thing, and it's a great time to be in this life and in this generation during these last days to actually see a people that in the same land that they were called animals and dogs and savages and less than the people and one-third and everything starting to wake up to who they are. And the world is starting to wake up and know who we are. And, you know, the our people are turning back to the Most High Yahweh and turning back to the commandments, and it's a great thing. So we got to support that and stop fighting against each other and start to work with each other. We already have the whole world against us. You know what I mean? We don't need to make no more of each other against each other. You know what I mean? That's totally contrary to the Almighty's program for us. Zephaniah 2 lets us know what? Gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. We are not desired by the other people. You know what I mean? They want to see us downfall. That's what they want to see. All right? Gather yourselves together. And in doing this gathering together, you know what I mean? We need to support each other. And we need to begin to practice group economics and support each other and not be against each other. You know what I mean? So that's one of the main things that we need to do. We got to keep these commandments, keep these statutes. You know what I mean? We got to believe in the Messiah because that's a part of salvation. Faith is a part of salvation. Grace is a part of salvation. Believing the Messiah, keeping the commandments, you know, all these things are a part of salvation, are a part of eternal life. Receiving eternal life is just not one thing, you know. So it's a combination of these things, you know. Like I said, the Messiah, grace, faith, the commandments, and repentance, you know. And again, to truly repent means to turn away from those sins. So definitely, let me look at my phone line again. I'm going to try the sister again. I think she's still here. Hopefully I can hear her this time. All right, area code 321. I'm coming back to you. Shalom, shalom. You're on the air. You hit one again. Shalom, 321. Can you hear me?
You said what?
Hey, shalom. Are you on the air? Area code 321. Can you hear me? All right, so maybe not, or maybe they just hit one by accident. I'm not sure. So, all right, if anybody else want to get online, you know, we have quite a few callers. Anybody else have any questions or comments concerning what we talked about today or concerning, you know what I mean, anything else dealing with the scriptures? Just push number one. I get you on or concerning, you know, actually gathering with us and fellowshipping with us concerning that. I give you some information on the different cities where you can find, you know, some good ground and some good ground where the word is being taught, at least the ones that I know of, that you can actually gather with. Definitely we can do that as well. So back to what I was saying. So, you know, the fig tree is definitely blossoming. You know, we have Israel truly waking up. I mean, so many people waking up within the past 5 years, within the past 10 years, you know, it's really amazing. And so we got to keep doing what we've been doing, you know what I mean? But elevate it to another level. You know, we got to elevate this thing to another level and realize that it's all about the Almighty. It's the Almighty's program. And let's just be happy and privileged that the Almighty chose you as an individual to be a part of that awakening, you know, because a lot of people are still asleep. Not only are they still asleep, a lot of them dying and not knowing this knowledge. Not of them dying and has rejected the Most High. You know what I mean? And now they cannot make a repentance, you know, because contrary to what a lot of Israelites are saying out there, you're not coming back to be able to get a second shot at life to make it right. You know what I mean? You have one life to live, and you need to get it right in this one life. You don't have 50 different chances. You're not coming back 10 different times. You got one life to live, one life to serve the Most High, keep His commandment, and you're going to be judged off that one life. All right? So do the best you can so the Almighty can write your name in the book of life. Or maybe I should say, you know what I mean, even not blot your name out the book of life, you know? If your name is already written in it, you don't want your name blotted out of the book of life. All right? If your name's not in the book of life, you want your name written in the book of life, you know? So definitely is what we want to do. So at this point, you know, pretty much we got about 15 minutes into the show. We'll probably end a little early here. And I just want to, you know, definitely thank everybody for calling in. Thank everybody for listening in to Israel Now Radio this Monday. And I'll just go out with last song. Shalom, shalom.
You are rocking with DJ Tyser.
Oh, yeah. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock.
With lies and confusion left under the falsehood of society's illusion. Fraternal brotherhood is half the time keep choosing. The tight bruise for the love of money push delusion. Masons build without the chief cornerstone. A sure foundation laid out in Zion. Strong tower, if it fall on you, it'll crush it into powder. If you fall on it, then you will get broken like
I'm
an apple.
I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock I stand.
Own heart, that's a terrible start. It's only death in the end. I'm asking Yah for his mark. Wanna be like Noah and them, yeah. When he told them build the ark right before the flood came to drown the women and men. Let this connect to your speakers, hoping I sense in your speakers. I disconnect with your pastor, goes off and lean when he's speaking. Your church must be wake for us. Too many demons and deacons, way too much lean in that cup. So I'd rather lean on the kingdom. My cup runneth over. Y'all put all these words in my leader. Follow your Howard shot a leader, side by side like I'm keeper. That's them 12 disciples. All you heathens is rivals. Swiper snatching from my scriptures, gone lean on the idol. Sword drawn in the reason for the blood is the Bible. Yeah, the blood and the lamb. Yeah, Yah is the reason. Too much food up on this tree to pick, so why try and glean it? I need the rule I took come strengthen me and keep me from leaning.
I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning. I'm leaning on the rock. On the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock. On the rock I stand. I'm leaning. I'm leaning. I'm leaning on the rock. On the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock. Hit the block. Tell them about Yah. Let them know the word God. A false God. See, I go against the odds. Slamming truth like a pog. Like Moshe when he struck it. Gave water to the flock. Our community's a drop. This is water to the block. When I say lean, I don't mean no codeine. I am not a fiend on the devil's puppet strings. I declare Yah's word so that you can be redeemed. Plus the songs are super hot and the delivery is clean. All glory to the Ruach. He be helping me do out. Supernatural flow, fluid across the globe. For those thirsting for more. Hold up, fluid across the globe. My occupation is killing tracks to save your soul. You other elves are sinking sand. And that's for sure. When the storm comes, please tell me where you're
going. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning, I'm leaning. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock, I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning, I'm leaning. I'm leaning on the rock I stand. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock. I'm leaning on the rock.